Just be very protective of your child and always get emotionally involved in his disputes with other children. Let him see your anger at him being mistreated by his peers, babysitters, teachers, and other adults. Let him know you believe he is always in the right and that people are out to mistreat him, but you are there to see he gets his due. And to cap it off, when someone who is the child's senior comes to you with an accusation against your child, respond by accusing that person of lying. When your child knows that he can control any social relationship through his deceit and threats, and that you will never believe the accusation against him, you are breeding a very ugly personality. It is not going to harm your child to be falsely accused a few times. That's life. He will have to learn to deal with it sooner or later. When he is accused, if you have doubts about his guilt, patiently search out the matter. If you determine that he has been falsely accused, tell him, and then quietly drop the matter. Don't let him see your defensiveness on his behalf. If he is roughed up by his peers, rejoice. He is learning early about the real world. Don't make a sissy out of him. If you jump to his defense every time another child takes away a toy, pushes your child down, or even pops him in the nose, you will rear a social crybaby. When you demand that your child be treated fairly, you are protecting him from reality. The younger they are, the easier it is for them to learn that they deserve no special treatment. Your reactions are not going to make life any less fair for your child, but there is a danger of stirring up a feel-sorry-for-yourself attitude in him. If you are tough, he will be tough. If you are joyful, he will be joyful. Why is everybody always picking on me? While I teach a Bible class, my two daughters help babysit a house full of children under 5 years old. Five children under five is indeed a house full. One of the mothers returned to find her three-year-old daughter whining from being mistreated by a little fellow under two. They all confirmed that the stumbling toddler had in fact provoked a Class A altercation without sufficient provocation. The older and physically superior little girl just sat on the floor and turned the other cheek, only to have it walloped also. In her presence, the mother pitied the little girl and spoke critically of her assailant. My daughters watched the situation carefully and on several occasions observed him assaulting her. But as the nursery workers cracked down on the mugger, he ceased his misdemeanors. Most of the attacks were actually the result of his stumbling while practicing his recently acquired skill of walking. The bright and otherwise sweet little girl was very obedient, but she had developed a habit of exhibiting emotional weakness in order to get her way. She whines about everything and seems to suffer out of proportion to her happy lot in life. The young mother has cultured this tendency. During the succeeding weeks, the mother would greet her daughter with a sympathetic inquiry as to her suffering at the hands of the 24-inch nursery stalker. The nursery workers became aware that the victim always gives an evil report. They made it a point to watch closely and were sure that on the occasions when there was no conflict with the alleged assailant, the little girl would still give a report of being attacked. They observed her playing happily until the mother arrived, at which time she would jump up and run into the arms of her sympathetic mother with whining tales of abuse. As the talk escalated and the stumbling tot's infamy grew, the mother more carefully questioned her daughter. It was becoming clear that the emotionally weak child thrived on playing the role of the abused. One night, the babysitters observed the little girl telling the boy, "Hit me. Go on, hit me." When she finally persuaded him to reach out and strike her on the head, she went to one of the child care workers crying about being struck. This was repeated on several occasions. Then, when the protective mother arrived, the little girl had a tale of abuse to again make her the center of her mother's sympathy. On another occasion, when the little fellow was in the other room, the girl fell down crying of being struck by him. When the mother arrived and those in charge told her that her daughter lied about being abused, she again took up the child's defense and denied that her daughter could lie. I rejoice to say that this mother is one of the most teachable women I have ever met. When confronted, the mother realized she was making provision for her daughter to grow up breaking the ninth commandment, "Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor," Exodus 20:16. She also realized she was cultivating a sour disposition in her little girl. She repented and immediately began working on it. The child's attitude quickly showed improvement. Bad attitude. Bad attitude is bad through and through. For as a child thinketh in his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs 4:23. If a child shows the least displeasure in response to a command or duty, you should treat it as disobedience. If a child sticks out his lip, you should focus your training on his bad attitude. A wrong slant of the shoulders can reveal a bad frame of mind. Consider this a sign to instruct, train, or discipline. A cheerful, compliant spirit is the norm. Anything else is a sign of trouble. If your family has always been out of control, to even consider training your children in this manner may seem overbearing and unrealistic. Granted, if some families simply started demanding this level of obedience, they would indeed be overbearing. But when approached as a revamping of the entire family, it no longer appears unreasonable. Sulking, pouting, whining, complaining, begging, and the like should all be eradicated like a bad disease. Clean the whole house. This is not just an idealistic goal, such as all Christians ought to sin no more, that we entertain while secretly willing to settle for far less. It is the daily experience of multitudes of families, including our own. Like any well-cared-for garden, weeds do come up that must be dealt with, but they are never given a chance to seed. Problems do arise, but the training base we have described provides the certainty of a thriving garden of happy, satisfied children.